Thank you for tuning in to La Bonheur with Vali here on CITR 101.9 FM. I am currently located on the ancestral, traditional, and unceded territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people, but would also like to acknowledge the land from which you're tuning in today. Aujourd'hui, on va jouer beaucoup de musique française, ainsi qu'une interview que j'ai eu le plaisir d'avoir avec Luke Wallace. Mais avant ça, voici la chanson Fou n'importe où de Charlotte Cardin et de Cri.
L'hiver encore tire à sa fin, il coule dans les ports des souterrains. Avec lui, frissons jurons, les longues nuits, les caleçons longs. Nous nous collerons tous les deux, désormais pour nos beaux yeux. Nous nous trouverons une voiture, nous partirons à l'aventure. Pour n'importe où je m'en fous. Exceptionnel. Le soir venu, nous coucherons seulement dans les plus beaux motels. Pendant quelques heures, je conduirai jusqu'aux abords de mon sommeil. Puis je te refilerai le volant chassant.
It's a funny thing about money and greed. The more you got, the more you think you need. I'ma go ahead and plant a different seed. Keep a singing my songs and doing my deeds. And any money that I'll get, I'll give it back. Any money that you get, just give it back. Because life's about bigger things than cash. Any money that you get, just give it back. It'll bring you closer. Oh, yeah, it brings me closer. I'm on a rise, rise, rise. I've been meeting. I'll be right there to receive it. Open arms to greet it and carry you home. I'm on a rise. Well, it's a funny thing about love and laughter. You live long enough, it becomes the chapter that you just keep a reading over again. It's back to the start when you get to the end. And any love that'll get, I'll give it back. Any loving that you get, just give it back. Because life's about exactly that. Any loving that you get, just give it back. It'll bring you closer. I'm gonna rise up and meet you. Be right there to receive you. Open arms to greet you, carry you home. I'm gonna rise, you rise up and meet you. Be right there to receive you. Open arms to greet you, and carry you home. I'm gonna rise up and meet it. I'll be right there to receive it. Open arms to greet it and carry you home. I'm gonna rise. 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 I'm gonna rise.
That was the song On a Rise by Luke Wallace, and up next we have What on Earth by him as well, before we listen to the interview that I was very lucky to have with him last week. Here is What on Earth by Luke Wallace.
I used to live by my lows, I let him win, watched him grow, it took away my tomorrow. I used to live by my lows. Now instead I let him in and I let him go. I used to crash like a wave on the shore, and there I'd stay. Now I'm like the tide, I'm all change. I used to crash like a wave. Now instead I let it in and it rolls away. Yeah, I let it in and it rolls away. What on earth are you doing? What on stars? Now instead I let it in and it fills the dark. Yeah, I let it in and it fills the dark. What on earth are you doing? What on are you doing? I see the sun. You can't believe anything they say. You can't believe anybody these days. I cannot trust what's between my ears. You can't believe everything you hear. So I quiet down, listen to my heart. I make a hole out of all the parts. I find myself in everyone I see. It's all right there looking back at me. I said that no, nobody. Seven seas, you're chasing opportunities. If more is less and west is east, and war is dust and the rest is peace. I said that no, nobody, no, no, nobody, nobody gonna bring me down. I said waiting in line for a real big trip. Me, I'm fine sitting right down here. You're buzzing with the birds in the biosphere. Said I'm buzzing with the birds in the biosphere. No, nobody, no, no, nobody.
Nice to meet you. Thanks for coming in for an interview.
Valley, good to be here. Thanks for having me.
I was wondering if we could start off with a couple of, you know, more fun get to know you questions.
Great.
So the first one is, if you could live anywhere in the world, where would you live?
Great cue. I think, okay, so two things come to mind. One, I'd probably pick right where I am. I live on Salt Spring Island, in the most stable political place in the world, in one of the most lovely moderate seasonal climates that sort of spins around, and I live in a 220 square foot cabin that I built out of pretty much all reused salvage material. So I've definitely been blessed to be able to build the life that I have over the last couple of years, and so it's, I can't really pick anywhere else to live, but if I had to pick anywhere else, it would be, I would go live somewhere in India. I was, again, fortunate enough to travel there recently, I was just blown away by the sort of reality check and beauty of the people, and what it means to live like a day-to-day life in India is so strange and different from how it is here. And I felt so invigorated being there. So that would be my, those are tied for number one.
It's wonderful. If you could be any animal, which animal would you be and why?
Nice. I'd probably have to go with a salmon. I think what salmon embody in their sort of resiliency and sense of community and sense of purpose in the world is pretty unbelievable. And what they do to serve the wider ecosystems, and the sacrifice that they make their entire lives and at the end of their lives to reintegrate themselves into the natural ecosystem through being carried by eagles and bears, you know, miles into the forest and then dropped and decomposing. And, you know, I think when I started learning about the relationship between tree rings and the marked growth in nitrogen deposits lining up with the previous year's record salmon runs, and realizing that the forests and its success was based entirely off how big a salmon run was. You know, there are salmon who essentially kill themselves at the end of their lives. They flip, I've watched them do it. They get up to the stream, they spawn, and then they flip over and try to impale themselves on sticks. Because they are not so tied to their own lives. And I think that level of service and unity and a viewpoint like that is something we could all learn from as people. So that's my pick.
Wonderful. What a, like, an interesting take on that question. Because a lot of people are like, oh, dogs are cute, so I'd be a dog. But I love that.
Right, right.
If you had to choose between spending the rest of your life either on a mountain, in a forest, or by the ocean, which one would you choose?
Definitely by the ocean. 100%. I swam more than I did ever this summer, mostly because of COVID and the lack of gigs. And it solidified my love for the ocean. I've always lived by it, and the forest is beautiful. But I'd have to pick the ocean for all of its wild healing qualities, including all the food it supplies.
I agree. Going back into a bit of your past as a musician, but also as a student, I saw that you studied environmental geography here at UVC. And I was wondering if that's kind of what inspired you to make music that really is influenced by the environment and that is about the environment and the state of the world.
Yeah, you know, they came hand in hand. And I think, you know, I was exposed to a lot of beautiful natural world when I was growing up, as well as a lot of curriculum and education around, you know, climate and agriculture and, you know, loss of biodiversity and all these things starting, you know, when I was 14 and 15 years old. And that really carried me into a deeper and deeper interest and commitment into how the planet works and how deeply we rely on the systems, you know, the air and water and carbon cycles and such. And at that time, I was already making music, you know, at 16 and 17, I was already making music that was themed around these topics and that, you know, you might call you know, earth-centered music or activist protest music, that sort of thing. And it was really good because studying geography gave me a deeper, both a conviction in knowing that what I was saying about was worthy of my time and worthy of the energy that it takes to put that sort of material into songs in a nice way. And it was also a perfect antidote to academia. I found that, you know, it's the information is beautiful and the study of the earth is spectacular. And there's also this non-academic, non-science, non-material side of being a human being that that is needs to be explored too. And that's what my music has allowed me to do as an individual, and has also allowed me to sort of spread into the world. Is this deeper connection to the planet that is sort of sits outside of out of academia and is more rooted in sort of our, you know, all of our souls and in our just sort of the non-material connection that we have to the natural world. And so it was a beautiful and still is a beautiful harmony. I feel so blessed to be able to merge these two passions and sort of areas of study in my life. Yeah, and was really grateful for that degree because it just it supported me in my music as well as sort of like gave me a foundation through which to live my life on.
You mentioned when you started making music around, you know, the middle of your teenage years. I was wondering if there were any specific musicians or bands that influenced you as well as, you know, the state of the world. And as you mentioned, that balance between life and academia as well.
Definitely. I had a wide spectrum of, you know, listening preferences when I was in my middle teen years. And a lot of it was heavy hitting. A lot of it was sort of lighter folk stuff. And so, you know, a lot of people, I think when they hear my music, think that I must've listened to like Bob Dylan's entire discography or, you know, must be just the biggest fan of all the old folk heroes. And I really appreciate what they've done. And I've listened to a lot of their music, but I wasn't born in that era, you know, like I was listening in the '90s and 2000s, I was listening to, you know, Radiohead on repeat. And I really appreciated their sort of, anti-establishment angst. And, I listened, you know, to a lot of Coldplay and Red Hot Chili Peppers. And then I started getting into, you know, Xavier Rudd and that kind of, he definitely, his lyricism inspired me down a bit more of the path that I'm on now. And, guys like Jack Johnson and, you know, his sort of subversive, beautiful folk songs and pop songs that are about real stuff and nobody really knows, cause it's so catchy. And, who else, you know, like Michael Jackson. I was really into Michael Jackson and his sort of big sound and, you know, Heal the World, Man in the Mirror stuff. I just thought was so good and so big. And again, to be able to put that into a pop song and have it, you know, on radio stations worldwide with this beautiful message of unity was, yeah, really inspiring.
Speaking a little bit more about inspiration, I was wondering if you think that growing up in BC has also inspired your music, and whether, you know, you mentioned where you're currently living on Salt Spring Island and having that ocean, having the temperate weather as well, if you think that that's seeped into your music and has inspired your, you know, music creation and lyricism too.
Definitely. I think my music is really place-based, and I get that a lot from people that they're like, wow, it sounds, you know, it's when I listen to your music, it sounds like you grew up where I grew up, you know, with the same species and the same, you know, ecosystems. And I definitely draw, you know, my creative process is a bit scattered and not very intentional. And most of my best writing and moments comes from being exposed to, you know, beautiful opportunities to be out in nature, and whether that's, you know, surfing or going for long hikes or just driving on tour and you know, really cruising through a bunch of beautiful places. I draw a lot of inspiration from that and from meeting people. You know, I think we can forget that how much we as people are just such an important part of the ecosystems that we live in. And I've always loathed this idea that somehow human beings are a cancer on the earth. It's such a bad way of seeing what's happening here. It's like, we're just misaligned right now. And we have an opportunity to be, you know, the most regenerative, supportive, thriving species in the heart of an ecosystem that's ever lived, you know, maybe second to butterflies and bees. And so, you know, I take a lot of inspiration from the communities that I travel to and from the people that I get to meet, on tour. And I tell you, with all the division in the world, and hatred and everything the media sows, it's like, I don't run into it that much, to be honest. And I'm blessed and maybe unique in the fact that I get to travel to a lot of small communities all over the coast. And frankly, all I get is beautiful connection with people and communities. And I see, you know, the wide array of people in, you know, just trying to get by and feed their families and live a good life. And the kindness is, you know, overflowing for the most part in this part of the world. And it's what I like to keep in mind when I'm traveling. And it is really inspiring just to see all the variety of communities and everything that everyone's doing.
Touching a little bit more on those connections that you're talking about, do you have any specific stories from people that you've met during your tours, or people that you've met in these small communities that you're speaking about that stands out that you'd like to share?
Yeah, too many. Seems like everywhere I go, there's just incredible people. You know, I definitely through my music get to connect with the folks who are, you know, working to protect the places that they live. And often it's, you know, it's around sort of excessive and unpermitted resource extraction. And I'm able to connect with those communities. And I mean, literally everywhere. People who come to mind are, you know, Ken and Arlene Boone, who live in the Peace River Valley near Fort St. John, third generation farmers whose farm is slated to be flooded, and they're to be evicted off their land for the creation of the Site C Dam. And I've been so blessed to have met them and hear their story. And in that same valley, there's folks like Chief Roland Wilson and the West Moberly First Nation, and their stand against that same dam to protect, you know, hunting grounds and critically important 10,000 year old cultural sites, and a way of life that's linked to that. And, you know, when I get to travel to these places and meet these incredibly resilient communities who still find happiness and joy in every day while their homeland is threatened, it just increases my resolve to fight for the planet and fight for the well-being of communities over the oppressive corporate power of capitalism and the neoliberal sort of agenda that plays out in the world right now. And so, you know, it's, I guess that's a coin in the bucket of travel, and go to small places. Anyone listening, please get, you know, let's get out of the cities and see what small communities are going through, and and meet the people there, and you'll realize just what it means to be, you know, connected and to be community minded and to be resilient, to find joy in the little things. And that's been one of the biggest blessings of my life.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. Thank you. So diving a little bit further into song specific and music specific, I was wondering if you would like to talk a little bit about your newest single, your most recent release, which is On a Rise. I was wondering what the general theme of the song is and how you were inspired to write that.
Yeah, this song, On a Rise, I put it out on the 21st of October and got some amazing feedback. And it's a curious song. So I wrote the verses, which are like the It's a Funny Thing part. There's two of them. And I wrote those in Costa Rica in 2017. And I wrote them with a chorus, but the chorus is really bad. And I'd sat on these verses for so long. And then, you know, music and life is a funny thing where it always comes back around, and it's really just these beautiful circles. And so I started, and then I wrote this chorus, I'm on a rise, rise up and meet it. And this, it was just in the same key at the same tempo, using a similar progression that worked together. And I remember just merging them one day and just sitting there and going like, what a funny, funny thing it is to be, you know, to be creative and, to come up with this stuff. Is just, it's such a trip. And so, you know, this song's really about seeing the challenge that we're all facing right now, whether it's within our own lives or within our community or the collective global threats of all of it, literally anything, AI, tech, climate change, all of it. It's can be so frightening, and we do ourselves a deep disservice when we close off to it. When we become fearful of it, even the virus, when we become fearful of this stuff and close off and tighten, we only feed the problem. We only feed the division in the world. We only prepare ourselves less for what's coming. And so, you know, the chorus of this, rise up and meet it. I'll be right there to receive it. Open arms to greet it and carry you home. I'm on a rise. It's sort of twofold. It has to do with that. It has to do with being open to the challenges of our lives, like I said, at any scale. And meeting it and receiving it in full and not being closed to it and allowing, whether that's, you know, the frustrations and anger and the depression of our lives or the, whatever these harder emotions that we're feeling, they don't go away if we close off to them. There's this, you know, very simple quote that comes around every so often, which is like, what we resist persists and what we feel we can heal. And that's true, whether it's depression in our own lives or whether it's, you know, global crises and division. And when we truly acknowledge it, and when we, you know, when we bring stuff to the surface, like the Black Lives Matter movement, when we bring this right up and we look at it, and we talk about it, we don't have to be afraid of this conversation or to admit that I am in fact racist because I've been raised in a racist society, in a racist education system with, you know, these racial biases. And I'm not afraid to admit that. And I think, the more we can do that on every scale, the more we will be liberated from the problems that we face. And so this is the core theme of On a Rise. And then, you know, the only other sort of thing that comes to mind is just that amongst all of our sort of fluctuations and all the peaks and valleys of our lives, I'm starting to notice that there is a trend within my own life and within the global community that it is directional. The world is beautifully circular, but there is a collective rise that is also happening in and amongst all of our peaks and valleys. I see that my valleys are slightly less low and my peaks kind of bring me up and that we're rising out of something. And the song is as much a reminder of that, that even in the low points, I have to sit quietly and remember that like there's a beautiful purpose in my life and all of our lives. And we have the opportunity to rise to something really beautiful here. And that's what all these challenges in our lives and challenges in the global community is asking us to do, is to really open up and rise up to meet the challenge and make something really beautiful out of it.
Your songs do have a very optimistic note, and especially On a Rise, you know, has a very happy tune as well as, you know, quite positive lyrics, even though it is, you know, referring to quite a few more negative topics, as you mentioned, you know, like the virus, racial movements, things like that. How do you manage to find this balance between speaking about maybe more pessimistic topics, but staying with that positive and optimistic tone?
Yeah, I'm not sure, to be honest. I think it might be my best magic trick. it's something people ask me a lot. They're like, you have this, you know, I guess I have a way of being able to take these challenging things and transforming them into something, you know, positive and uplifting in these songs. And I guess I'm called to do it. I want to put out that type of music. I want to put out music that lifts people up. And I also, it just, you know, I'm a big fan of a guy called Trevor Hall, and he put out a record called The Fruitful Darkness. And it's a beautiful phrase. It's not his phrase, but it's a beautiful phrase nonetheless, where we've been taught that anything that feels bad is bad and we should oppress it. And frankly, if you look at our entire society, but particularly like guys like Donald Trump and, you know, all the sort of dominant, aggressive, patriarchal thing that we all live in is really just, I'm pretty sure it's rooted in a lot of little boys who never were taught how to feel their emotions, especially their frustration and anger and all of it. So we just oppress them and we just push them down and we push them away and they never heal. And we don't see them as the opportunity that they are, which is an opportunity for liberation. You know, I've had periods of deep depression in my life and struggled really hard, but I committed to feeling them out. And particularly recently, I committed to feeling them out without the influence of drugs and alcohol or whatever it is. And the struggle is real, but they go away. And they sort of like, you can let them go like clouds passing. And so I try to really like hold that truth steady when I'm writing music, because it's the truth. It's not, we don't have to sit here and complain about how horrible things are, because those horrible things are our keys to liberation, both individually and collectively. And so, you know, climate change appears to be this horrible thing, and we can talk about how bad it is, but it's also forcing us to have a global conversation for the first time in the history of humanity. We all have to go, oh, borders don't exist. You know, the ocean is only a slight division, and it actually connects us all in the most spectacular ways. And the climate connects us all in spectacular ways. And wow, look at this forest fire that just happened over here, was probably caused by land use changes in America, yada, yada, yada. And it's like, what a beautiful chance to awaken to the fact that we were always, always connected. And it's that energy that I try to bring into my music, because it's the truth.
You touch a lot on connection and that, you know, those connections between people and between people to the land and to nature as well. Is that something that you would like to, you know, emphasize in your music? Is connection something that's, you know, very important for you to achieve with your music?
Right, definitely. I think, you know, one of my greatest goals as a musician is to be understood. And from a strictly like, you know, Luke outward thing, I want to be understood. And that's why I write music. And one of the incredible byproducts or core products of that is that people can then understand themselves better, and they can understand each other better. And then we can all connect around a shared understanding of something. And I do see, you know, a lot of my songs, particularly the last record that I put out and this most recent song, as chances for that, as chances for shared opportunity through this piece of art and shared connection through this piece of art. And I see connection and relationship is everything. And we've sort of lost that notion, and it existed for so long and still does in indigenous cultures. And it is the foundation of nature, whether we're talking about, you know, our gut biome and the function of our body, and what happens with cancer cells is just really a loss of this like connection and communication with other cells. And that happens at the human scale too. And that's why this year has been so troubling in my mind, is we didn't do it right. You know, I have a really hard time trusting any word that says disconnect. And I know that was never the message. It was like, you know, let's do physical distancing. And I totally respect and appreciate why we did that. But when we acknowledge the truth that the foundation of all life at any scale is connection and communication and relationship and harmony, we cannot fracture that. And I really take that role seriously in songwriting, in realizing just how important it is for us to connect with ourselves and each other. And I hope we can keep building a world that that fosters that, because I'm seeing that I'm seeing a lot of people disconnected right now, disconnected from themselves and disconnected from the planet and disconnected from each other. And so, you know, I think art plays an incredible role in fostering that connection. And I mean, being at a live concert, whenever we get back to that, is like the most beautiful connection ever, right? Like the shared experience of seeing your favorite band play with 3,000 other people, everyone singing the same song and just sharing this moment of like complete awe is like what it means to be alive. And I can't wait to keep doing that.
You spoke about disconnection, especially during the times that we're currently in with, you know, quarantines and Corona. I was wondering if you had any advice to our listeners about how to stay connected during a time when, unfortunately, we do have to have these social distancing and physical distancing rules and regulations in place.
I think we have to be really mindful and intentional about our lives now. And I know that that's really hard to do when we're fearful and when the stress is high and financial stress and everything that everyone's going through right now. It's like I'm overflowing with empathy for all of you, and I just invite folks to be increasingly intentional, recognizing that this is a tough time and that friendship and connection with other people is really important, and it's not even what it used to be anymore. It's like we actually have to do this for our own sanity and well-being. And so taking time every week, you know, 2 or 3 times a week, like, you know, I don't know what the suggested things are now, but you know, if you're able to hang out with six or 10 people, whether that's in groups or individually, it's like, make that effort. And maybe right after you hear this radio program, you know, like grab your phone and text 3 friends and make a date plan for next week. I know it's going to be, I don't really like seeing people. I'm quite introverted, but it's like, I try to really make an effort because I know that when I do, I feel more connected to myself. I feel more a part of my community. And, you know, again, mental health is just a disaster right now, to be honest. Globally, it's like we're seeing the greatest shift in, you know, mental well-being, and I think we've maybe ever seen. And we combat that, and we liberate ourselves from those struggles by being with other people. And so I really encourage everyone to just see it as part of your sort of self-care routine. You know, you got to do your drink all your water and eat all the whole plant-based foods and see people.
How can people take the morals and lessons that you sing about and that you speak about in your songs and apply them to their lives and to their actions?
Wow, I'll take a run at that one. I guess it would be how can I apply the morals in my music? Because I'm a righteous person in my songwriting, and quite a failing human being in the rest of my life. And so I try to learn that lesson just like everyone else. You know, I think the biggest thing that I try to really embody and that's reflected in my music that might be of value to folks is just realizing that the separation between us and the difference between you and I is just an illusion, and that at all scales, especially when you start breaking it down to small scales, it just becomes, you know, a universal truth that there is no difference between you and I. You know, we have these experiences and stories that we tell ourselves, and I've had a really cushy story so far in my life, and I'm grateful for that. But when we judge each other, and when we are hateful to the world, and when we play the divisive game, like, you know, what's on Twitter, or play the left-right politics game, we're just feeding that system. And we can all see now, I hope that this year and the last, you know, 5 years or however long you want to look at have taught us that this isn't working, and that this thing that we're all in, this sort of labor for money and divisive politics thing, is not working. It's not serving human beings, and it's causing a lot of pain in the world. And I don't want to cause that anymore. I don't want to perpetuate that. And so I'm inspired, and I hope I can inspire others to let that thing go and stop fighting it and stop creating more of what we're trying to stop, which is the division and judgment and violence and separation. And when we can step into this space of unity and realize, like, oh my, like, when I put judgment out into the world, it just comes back on me. And when I, you know, if you're quiet enough and you feel, you know, you put out an angry tweet or something, sit there for a minute and ask yourself how you feel, because you'll actually end up feeling what you just put out. The next second you'll feel really good because you'll feel righteous. But if you sit quiet long enough, you'll feel that division and that judgment and that sort of violence come back on yourself. And when we start to realize that that's what's happening in every interaction we have, both within ourselves and in our wider communities, we wake up to the fact that, like, oh my, if I just continue to put love, and you can still be really active, you can be a hardcore activist in the world, but it doesn't do much to create the division that you're trying to fight, to just recycle making more of what we're fighting about. And so I'm inspired and keen to explore more ways of being really strong and standing strong in values of justice and peace and the rights of Indigenous people, and fighting the injustice that exists too prevalently on the land that I live on, but finding a way to do that that brings everyone in, and that's part of building the new paradigm, because the old one's crumbling, and we have an opportunity here to build something incredibly new and resilient and regenerative and beautiful. And I think that all starts with us rejecting the sort of staples of the old paradigm, which are the ones that I've listed so far. And so, yeah.
If there were any organizations that people who are listening in right now could reach out to in order to get more involved with some of these issues that you've brought to light, for example, you mentioned the Dam Project at the beginning of the show, or Indigenous land, the environment, different things like this. Are there any organizations that you would recommend people reach out to, get involved with?
Right, definitely. You know, a few that come to mind are there's the folks at Raven Trust. They do amazing support for Indigenous legal cases around title and resource extraction. Raven Trust is an amazing organization. There's the folks as a Peace Valley Landowners Association. That's about the dam that we were speaking of earlier. Wow, there's so many. I collaborate with organizations everywhere. I think, you know, being politically engaged and finding a way to support candidates that you really jive with is an amazing thing to do. And if people want more sort of a dive into the local politics and environmentalism and that sort of thing, I also have a podcast. The podcast is called Welcome to the Garden, where I kind of highlight critical social justice problems and solutions on the coast here. So that can be a good resource for people just wanting to get going.
And in terms of your music, what is next? Are you working on any new music? Are you thinking about any future, maybe virtual shows or collaborations in the upcoming months? What can listeners look forward to?
Yeah, I'm gonna, you know, I think there'll be some virtual concerts coming up here. I had to get that single out, and that was sort of the focus. So I plan to do one here in the next couple weeks, I think. And then I'll probably do some stuff over the winter. I'm thinking that I'm dreaming up a way of doing small outdoor shows in the middle of the day in the winter, which I think could be really cool. Doing something like, you know, everyone brings blankets and thermoses full of tea, and we just sit outside and do that. I think that could be really fun. And it'll be a good winter of writing. I think I've got some good songs in the work here, and so I need to take some time off all this technology and really dig into to writing and recording those. And yeah, it's a new world. It really is. It's especially in the music industry. It's like I have no idea what's coming, and I'm resolved in my dream of being, you know, continuing to be a touring musician. And so, you know, this is the worst answer to what's next, because I usually have a, you know, a 2 year here's what's next kind of thing. And this time we'll see what January's like.
Well, thank you very much for chatting with me and answering all of my questions and bringing to light a lot of important issues, but also a lot of information about you and about your music as well.
Thanks, Valerie. This has been a pleasure.
You can't believe anything they say. Can't believe anybody these days. I cannot trust what's between my ears. You can't believe everything you hear. So I quiet down, listen to my heart. I make a hole out of all the parts. I find myself in everyone I see. It's all right there.
seven seas. You're chasing opportunities. And if more is less and west is east, and war is dust and the rest is peace. I said that no, nobody, no, no, nobody, nobody gonna bring me down. I said that no, nobody, no, no, nobody, nobody gonna bring me down. Said everybody running for the rocket ship. You're waiting in line for a real big trip. Me, I'm fine sitting right down here. You're buzzing with the birds in the biosphere. Said I'm buzzing with the birds in the biosphere. No, nobody, no, no.
That last song was Biosphere by Luke Wallace. I was very lucky and very happy to be able to talk to him and learn so much from him as well. Maintenant, on va écouter Le Mal de Georgette et Pilou.
Plus j'en demande, plus les gens me parlent. Plus les gens me parlent, plus j'en apprends sur le mal. Pourquoi personne ne m'a averti? Mes gens laissent en poche, mais au moins c'est appris. Moi, je fais quoi? Je te pardonne, peut-être, peut-être pas. I won't fix it, I can't fix you. I won't fix it, I can't fix you. I won't fix it, I can't fix you. Plus j'en demande, plus les gens me parlent. Plus les gens me parlent, plus j'en apprends sur le mal. Pourquoi personne ne m'a averti? Mes gens te laissent en poche, mais au moins c'est appris. Moi, je fais quoi? Je te pardonne, peut-être, peut-être pas. I won't fix it, I can't fix you. Peut-être pas. I won't fix it, I can't fix you. I won't fix it, I can't fix you. I can't fix you.
You tell me you were good, boy, you were good. You had me on your hook, I had you covered. But it's all out of hand now. You're out of hand now. I wanna tell the world.
moi je m'en la garde en bon tour.
Dis-moi jamais. Quelque chose, je suis déjà à genoux.
C'est moi jamais vu les deux enfants. C'est moi qui t'ai caché qui prend la peur. C'est moi jamais vu mes deux enfants. C'est moi qui t'ai caché qui prend la peur.
Cette dernière chanson était Pitou de Les Louanges et on va maintenant écouter Ushuaïa de Gustafsson. Mais avant ça, je vais vous souhaiter une très bonne journée et au revoir de ma part. But I hope to see you again next week for that promised interview with Cobra Man that I know you're all looking forward to. And as usual, for some music. And of course, your favorite part, me. See you guys next week. Here is Ushuaïa de Gustafsson.
L'Amérique, parti comme deux conquistadors, voir le détroit de
sur nous.